Track 2, Resolution of Conflicts. On the last track, we discussed four characteristics of effective goal setting: setting specific goals, setting realistically difficult goals, mutual supervisee-supervisor goal agreement, and giving feedback. It would be great if your involvement with your supervisee were conflict-free and they always did what they were supposed to do. But clearly, this is the real world, and just as support staff needs the management of conflict resolution, so does the therapeutic staff. Has that been your experience? Let's take a step back and look at your history as a supervisor. If you are a supervisor of an agency providing leadership to large numbers of people, you might be familiar with the following conflict resolution tactics. Number 1, give an oral warning. 2, then you give a written warning. 3, then you issue supervision without pay and a final written warning or probation. And finally, 4, you terminate the therapist. If you have been a supervisor of an agency for many years, I feel it important to note that you clearly switch hats from supervisor to mentor or coach. However, in the case of supervisees, I feel that another approach is more beneficial, and I hope you will agree. On this track, we will propose a new method of resolving conflicts: observation, thoughts, feedback, desires, and next time. Let's talk about number 1, observation. The first step in our procedure of conflict resolution is known as observation. At this point in the conflict, you would make a verbal observation to your supervisee about his or her behavior. Nora was a supervisor to Loretta, who worked in a family care facility. Nora noticed that Loretta had been falling behind in her client's progress notes. She addressed Loretta with, "I noticed that you've been falling behind in your client's progress notes." As you can see, this was said in a non-accusatory tone. There was no demand for an explanation, just a mere acknowledgement of the behavior. Loretta felt somewhat embarrassed about attracting negative attention. Sometimes, as you know, this is enough for many supervisees to remedy their behavior. Or they may offer you a justified response and assurance of correction, such as, "Yes, I'm afraid I haven't been as up to speed lately, but I have already set aside the entire evening to devote to those notes." However, they may not respond at all, and it may be necessary to move to the next step. The second step in conflict resolution is thoughts of the supervisee on their behavior. If the supervisee didn't voluntarily comment on your primary observation of behavior, ask them directly for input, but again in a non-accusatory tone. For instance, when Loretta did not respond to Nora's question regarding writing progress notes, Nora asked, "What are your thoughts on writing these in a timely manner?" This gave Loretta the feeling that she was not being sideswiped, so to speak, and that she had a chance to defend herself. Also, it provided Nora with an opportunity to understand a certain aspect of the situation that she might have needed to know about. This step is vital in avoiding accusations of unfairness later on. In addition to observation and thoughts, the third step in conflict resolution is feedback. In this step, you will give the supervisee the reasoning for the correction of their behavior. Essentially, you will be reaffirming the importance of the rule or principle that may be involved. Nora told Loretta, the supervisee who had been neglecting her progress notes, "The purpose of these notes is not only for my benefit, but for yours as well. With these notes, it becomes easier to keep up on your client's progress." By relating the advice directly back to Loretta, she was willing to react to Nora's suggestion. Think of your supervisee who is having trouble in one area or another. Would he or she benefit from your feedback? What would be the least accusatory statement you could make when giving them feedback? Let's look at the fourth step, in addition to observation, thoughts, and feedback. The fourth step in this formula for conflict resolution is desire. This step involves letting your expectations be known to the supervisee. This stage also takes a little diplomacy, would you agree? Although you don't want to leave your statement open to interpretation, you also don't want to alienate your supervisee. Also, avoid making a statement from a point of weakness. Such a statement as, "It would be really great if you," almost sounds like the supervisee is doing you a favor. Do you agree? Do you have any unresponsive supervisees who might improve from a statement of desire? In addition to observation, thoughts, feedback, and desire, the fifth and final step in conflict resolution is next time. This step involves making clear the consequences of the supervisee's action should they happen again. This step also takes some delegation. Without issuing a threat, make a specific and enforceable repercussion for their behavior that doesn't turn you into the bad guy. Nora said the following to Loretta, "If you continue to neglect your client's progress notes, I will be forced to give you a negative review." Avoid general statements such as, "If you continue to neglect your client's progress notes, there will be consequences," and unenforceable or unreasonable consequences such as, "We will fire you from the agency." By giving them a specific consequence, keep in mind your supervisee can easily link his actions with an unfavorable reaction. Obviously, this 6-hour home study course cannot cover all the areas of supervision. Thus, here are some books listed in the back of your manual you might consider. One of my favorites is Discipline Without Punishment by Dick Grody, Coaching, Mentoring, and Managing Through Strategies to Solve Performance Problems and Build Winning Teams by William Hendricks, Conflict Management, The Courage to Confront by Richard Mayer, and Getting Them to Give a Damn by Eric Chester. On this track, we put forth a specific formula for resolving conflict. It involved the steps of observation, thoughts, feedback, desires, and the next time. On the next track, we will present the various types of supervisees that are resistant to improvement. The yeah, but supervisee, the silent supervisee, the I'll try supervisee, and the irrelevant supervisee. Also, we will present various techniques for overcoming difficult conversations with these supervisees. Question 2. What are the 5 steps presented in this conflict resolution formula?